Good evening. Good to have everybody out tonight. We're going to be in Psalms chapter 40. The title of the lesson is God Sustains His Servant. And David's going to talk about the past and the future and the present and dealing with God and the difficulties. In the middle of the psalm, though, it's going to be a great prophecy of Christ. This kind of pops out and thrown out there 800 years before Christ. In verses 1 through 5, waiting patiently for the Lord pays off. He's going to talk about his past. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. What else are you going to do when you're in trouble? I mean, you can fret, you can worry. I mean, you can throw up your hands in despair. But to wait patiently takes strength and takes faith. And God was inclined to him. And that's what you need. I mean, God doesn't jump just because we wanted to jump. But he was inclined to me and heard my cry. Oh, that's the first phase. If you're in trouble, that God hears you. You read 1 John chapter 5 and you can know he hears you. But verse 2, he brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. Well, David is living a life where everybody's trying to kill him. And you know, he was a man after God's own heart, but Solomon lived a peaceful life, to end up lost. And David, who is like God, is always in trouble. But you know, he lives to be an old man. God kept him going all those years, and he's talking about being down in a pit of destruction and miry clay, you know, where you're sinking up to your hips. Jeremiah, a prophet for 40 years, the Israel got thrown in a pit, a well. You know, you get to stay there for days with mire. But God got him out of that difficult situation, and he set his feet on rock. He gave him firm standing. I mean, he was helpless, but God inclined to hear him and answered it and got him out of that predicament. Verse 3, what's his reaction? And he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Oh, yeah, if you know, once you've been delivered, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I mean, if you are really in trouble, I mean, you got a new song. I mean, it's a new vantage point to which to see God. You notice I stopped in the middle of verse 3. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. I mean, David's always in trouble. Everybody knows about it. But if somehow he survives, everybody's going to hear about it. And the only reason he survived was because God had to have helped him. It's going to end up other people get the message and they start trusting God because it's obvious it's happening. In the book of Daniel, talking about the fiery furnace, and Nebuchadnezzar rules the Babylonian world, and he said, hey, I believe in that God. Now, he wasn't going to serve him, but you couldn't deny it, that those guys got delivered from the fiery furnace. Verse 4, how blessed is the man who's made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse into falsehood. When you're in trouble and you get carried away, you might start making some unholy alliances or the ends is going to justify the means here. In his case, he didn't turn to the proud. God's against the proud. So if you turn to the proud for help, now you're in double trouble. And so he didn't do that. And you got to be careful when you're in desperate times that you don't do the wrong thing. Or you turn to the wrong people for help, like the politicians, you know, and you take money from somebody. And then later, guess what? You owe me. You know, well, we can do that too. And David said he didn't do that. No matter how much trouble he was in, he turned to the Lord. Verse 5, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonders which thou hast done. And thy thoughts toward us, there is none to compare with thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. You know, God's capable. God's wonderful. I mean, I can't even describe, he says, how much he did for me. You know, John ends his book in the Gospel of John that we only wrote down seven miracles. But if we wrote down everything Jesus did, I don't think there'd be enough books to fill it. And you read the first two chapters of Mark and you see why he said that. There's miracle after one, right after another. But David, in the past, God delivered him. And boy, God is wonderful. Well, verses 6 through 10, point number B there, God in righteousness. You got to do the right thing. But in verses 6, 7, and 8, that's quoted in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. And it's talking about Christ, and it's talking about probably the greatest thing you and I need to know. Verse 6, sacrifice and meal offering thou hast not desired. My ears thou hast opened, burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Now it's in the law. It's in the law of Moses to do it. But David said, thou hasn't required that. What's he saying? Verse 7. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book, it's written to me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. And what David's saying is, God wants somebody to do his will from the heart. I don't want to have to give a secondary thing like the law of Moses to force you that when you have a harvest, bring the first fruits in and acknowledge where you got it. I don't want to do that. But I did it. And we went to a lower level in the Old Testament system. Sure, he required all those offerings. But that's not what he wanted. He would rather have people just simply do his will from the heart, love him from the heart. We wouldn't need all those laws. But sometimes God has to go with a secondary plan. In Matthew 19, verse 8 there, talking about marriage, divorce, and Jesus has a higher standard than the old system had. And they noticed the difference, and they asked the question, you know, why did Moses command us or permit us to divorce? He told us to give a certificate to the woman, and okay. And Jesus said, because of the hardness of heart, that was allowed. Sometimes God's allowing the secondary, but that's not what he really wants. He would rather have people do his will from his heart. And this is what Jesus said when he came to earth. In the book, it's written to me. Actually talking about this book, Psalms 40. Then, I come to do thy will, O God. Oh, God's eyes, what? Got real big. Because if someone can do his will, then they can sacrifice themselves for the sins of the world. And we can solve this sin problem that I have. And here's Jesus. I come to do thy will, O God. Which enables God to sanctify us once for all and perfect us for once for all. Because Jesus came to do thy will. Verse 9. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I'll not restrain my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. He said, you know, in the congregation, I talk about you. I talk about your righteousness. And you know it. And you know I'm doing it. He's making it clear to God that he's on God's side. You know, like Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. He's making it clear, here's what I feel personally that I want as a man, but I want you to know, if the answer is no, I'm going to do your will. Well, David's here, I'm going to proclaim righteousness. I'm going to tell people. I'm not going to restrain my lips. Verse 10. I've not hidden thy righteousness within my heart. He knows God is righteous. And it's an open book. Within his own heart, God's righteous. So you and I have to be concerned about doing the right thing. Secondly, in verse 10, I've spoken of thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Oh, he's talking to God. I'm on your side. I know you. And I haven't held back from telling everybody, you know, of your faithfulness. You stick with God in time of trouble. Of your salvation, he will deliver you. And I haven't concealed your loving kindness. I mean, lots of times when you and I do wrong, he don't want no sacrifice. No, he's not going to make up for that. You got to appeal to his loving kindness. That's what David did when he sinned with Bathsheba and Uriah in Psalm 51. All you can feel is God's compassionate, that God's loving, that God's forbearing here because you're in trouble. And then at the end of verse 10, thy truth. I haven't held back thy truth. Truth is reality about God. I mean, I know God, and I've told everybody about God, how great he is. Verse 11 and 12, three things that sustains a person. Verse 11, O Lord, wilt not withhold, thou, O Lord, will not withhold thy compassion from me. Talking about future now. Thy loving kindness and thy truth will continually preserve me. And that's a big statement in David's life. And he's confident of God in the future. That compassion, loving kindness, and the truth. Thy truth will continually preserve me no matter what comes my way. Well, verse 12, talking about time, now he's back, we're down to present now. For evils beyond number have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I'm not able to see. They're more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me. Oh, he's got evils all around, I mean, and justifiably, you know, because he's talking about his iniquities overtaking him. I mean, he's got some problems, sin problems, and he's aware of it. And you know, somebody that loved God as much as he did and fought, find yourself off in sin, what? It's a much greater pain, a much more consciousness of the problem. And he's aware of them. And they're more numerous than the hairs on my head. And my heart has failed me. Now, lots of times we do that, and I've had a preacher sit in my living room do that. He said, I'm just such a sinner. Now, whatever his sin problem was, it was bad to him. And it was so many. You know, and I knew the fellow. But it exaggerated in his mind. And that's what David is. This is horrible. And I've got all the number of my hairs on my head. That's how many iniquities I have. But he's telling God. He's being honest here. Verse 13. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make it haste, O Lord, to help me. Yeah, if you want deliverance from God, you need to be humble. I mean, you need to be pleased, O Lord. Your timetable, if it be your will, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. You're totally dependent on God. And make haste, O Lord, to help me. Lots of times it's gone a long time and you're really hurting, and it would be nice if it came quicker. 14. Let those be ashamed and humiliated together who seek my life to destroy it. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Oh, he has some problems. There's people who want to kill him, and there's people that would be thrilled at his death. And so he's telling God, there's bad people out here wanting to do bad things to me, and they're getting a lot of enjoyment out of it. Verse 15, let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, ha, ha, yeah, look at old David here. He said, Lord, let them be ashamed. I mean, deliver me and let them see it. Now he talks about the good people. There's bad people in Israel, and there's still good people. In a church may be doing bad, but there's good people in it. Verse 16. Let all who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let those who love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Well, it depends on whether you're a believer or not. If you're not a believer and you're an evildoer, then it just goes from worse to worse. But if you're a believer, you just need to continue to rejoice in the Lord, like Philippians 4:4. You need to be glad. I mean, you don't let what's happening to you change that. I mean, you keep on seeking God, you keep on doing right. And he says, let those who love thy salvation say continually, Lord, be magnified. I mean, if you're in trouble, I mean, are you and I waiting for the second coming of Jesus or our passing? Oh, we love to see the Lord. I mean, let the Lord be great. Let him deliver me. Let angels come that when we pass and carry us away to Christ. Verse 17. Since I'm afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. There's the appeal, boy. Don't delay. I mean, it's up to God. And he's in trouble one more time. But boy, God is great. He hasn't lost sight of that. Despite his failures, despite the problems, he still clings to God. Don't delay. Well, it's nice to know that Jesus died for your sins and that you're commanded to pray without ceasing. That you don't have to do something for 6 months where the Lord will get around to listening to you. We're going through all kind of problems with our doctor. And it's not our doctor's fault. It's the people inside the office. How he's supposed to be getting the procedure. It's been a month. We ain't no closer to getting no procedure done. And there's some serious problems. You know, I run out of medicine a month ago, but who cares? Still ain't got no prescription. No matter how many times you call. So all you can do is what? Wait patiently. It'll work out one way or the other. Forced me on extreme diet, extreme taking care of that myself, you know. But you get in a situation where you got to wait on the Lord. And you need to do it patiently if it's going to work out. Despite how bad it looks. Despite how you fail. Solitary, the chief of sinners, ignorant as you could be, and thought he was right. Jesus had to blind him to get his attention, and that was a bad experience for him, but it turned out wonderful. Ananias came and said, "Why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." You need to call on God. You need to discuss this with God. And through the name of Jesus, you can have your sins washed away. That's you and me. We're the saints. We're the holy ones. And we go through our own struggles. But God sustains his servants. Those who know him, those who cling to him, they just wait patiently. Things work out. Need to respond anyway. Won't you come as we stand and sing?